So, did you understand a bit? Huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Huh? Did you understand a bit? Huh? What I was talking about? Huh? The first thing is, you know, I mean, it's about samadhi. Yeah? Huh? I mean, we always mix up samadhi and sati. And sati are the eyes, you know, that do insight. And to develop the sati, no, it's not, you know, most people, you know, I mix up, you know, they think samadhi is just, you know, making the heart quiet, yeah? But sati is observing what we have, yeah? Observing the Buddha, observing the breath that comes in or that comes out, yeah? Is the breath quiet? Is it rough? But what are our mistakes, yeah? I mean, the moment the heart is a little bit calm, we go to the feeling of calm, and then our samadhi is gone, yeah? Our concentration is gone because it stays with the feeling, yeah? But our object, when we start our meditation, our object is only the Buddha, or it's only the breath, yeah? And that is our object until, yeah? That will be our object until we really go into the deep state of samadhi. Until there is one, yeah? Until subject that observes the object, yeah? Become one, yeah? And then there is no more Buddha or there is no more breath, yeah? Until that state, you know, yeah? We have to observe the Buddha and we cannot go and observe the feelings that come up. Yes, of course there are nice feelings and in the beginning we are fooled by it. So we latch onto these feelings, you know, when the moment, you know, there are not so many thoughts, you know, the moment there are not many memories coming in, the heart, you know, becomes calm, you know, and what happens then, you know, I mean, we either stay with the calm and then become tired, you know, and fall asleep. That happens to lots of people, yeah? The important thing is, you know, once there are not, once the Buddha sticks or once the breath, you know, once our concentration doesn't deviate so much from the breath anymore or from the Buddha anymore, then we have to develop the sati, develop the knowing of the breath and develop the knowing of the Buddha. Is the Buddha starting now? Is the Buddha ending now? Is the next Buddha coming now? Is the Buddha long or is it Buddha short? Is it deep or is it shallow? Is it fast or is it slow? Yeah? And that, of course, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work, yeah? Because we constantly have to remind ourselves, how is the Buddha now? Or how is the breath now? We have to remind ourselves in the beginning until, you know, this sati slowly develops, yeah? We have to develop the sati. It doesn't come automatically when we sit there, huh? We think, you know, I might come, you know, huh? But it doesn't come. And it makes things much easier, you know, if we start from the beginning, knowing that it's the in-breath, knowing that it's the out-breath, or knowing that the Buddha is fast, and knowing that the Buddha is slow, yeah, or deep or shallow, yeah? Because that keeps our attention on the object that we started. Now my English is gone. That we decided to put our attention on when we sat down in samadhi or when we walked jhongkrong. Yeah. The importance is to develop this sati, to know at every moment, of every mind moment, what is going on. Because only when we have this mind moment, when we have this sati, we know what is going on in the citta. When we know, and when we really know what is going on in the citta, yeah, then we see the intention to think. We don't see the thoughts anymore. We just see the intention to think or the intention to call up a memory. Yeah? We see the intention. And at that time, it is very easy, yeah? I mean, just to get rid of it, you know, by saying, not interested, and then go back. Yeah? And then the whole thing, you know, stops. When we see the intention and the thought has not formed yet, I mean, it is so easy to stop. When the thought already has formed, it entices us. And the more thoughts are formed, you know, and the more entices us, and the more difficult it is to get the mind back to the Buddha, back to the breath. Huh? Because then it already, you know, fabricated a lot of things, yeah? And that the more it fabricates, the more entices us. The more, you know, is our interest is pulled towards these kind of thoughts. And the more difficult is it to return back to the breath or to return back to the Buddha. That's why when we catch the intention, you know, we don't even know. We only know the direction where the memory goes, or we only know the direction where the thought goes. And it is very easy to cut it off then. Huh? It is also easier to cut off after the first thought or after half thought. You see half the thought of already developing, no interest, you know, and then it instantly, yeah, it is very easy to return back to the Buddha or return back to the breath, yeah. But the longer we let the mind run, the more difficult it is to draw it back, because I mean the more interest is what is fabricating, yeah? We are always interested in the fabrications of the mind, yeah? We think, you know, it is worthwhile, so we look at it, yeah? And then it is very difficult to remind ourselves, you know, okay, let's go back to the Buddha, yeah? Actually that was my original object of investigation or object of meditation, yeah? It is important, you know, to develop the sati. And the sati helps us in every, yeah? It is our eyes that see, yeah? So we see what is going on in the heart, yeah? And we have to see, yeah? And it relieves, it helps us in every kind of situation. No matter if we are upatak, no matter if we offer the food, yeah, in the morning to the achan, it helps us because we see, because our mind is not blocked by all these thoughts. What we have to do, what we need to do, what is important, what is not important, yeah. We just see and we know, yeah. Sati is also the knowing faculty of the heart, and this is something that is very difficult. It is possible, it is difficult to develop, yeah? But if you develop it from the beginning, it becomes easier. Yeah? Knowing what is going on at every moment, yeah? So when you walk, you know, when you walk back, you know, from the meal, so you made your bowl, yeah? I mean, you finished it, you washed your bowl, you tried it out, you know, you folded your robes, you go back to the kuti, you know, to practice, yeah? I mean, what is going on while you go back? Huh? Where is your sati? Huh? You're in thoughts, yeah? Full in thoughts, you know? It's the same thing when you sweep. You're full in thoughts, yeah? Actually, we can, you know? I mean, our our tasks in this monastery are very easy. They don't require a lot of thinking, huh? But they require a lot of observing. And that's exactly what we train ourselves in samadhi. We observe the Buddha or we observe the breath, yeah? But then later on, you know, once the mind is quiet and, you know, and it has the sati, it catches the things that are going on in the heart, then we go on to the investigation. We go on into the investigation of the body, yeah? Be it, you know, be it looking at our life, yeah? I mean, how did our life start? Yeah, we were thrown into this world. We were born, yeah? And what else, what happened then, yeah? When we were born, yeah? We were lying on the table like a helpless, you know, meat package, yeah? Yeah. I mean, look at the babies that are coming out of the womb, you know, I mean, they are just a meat package, yeah? And then what do we do? We start to train this body. Yeah, and we have to train it, you know, and for 15 or 16 or 20 years until it becomes fully functional. We not only have to train, you know, the movement of the body, that means, you know, learning to walk and learning to talk, but we also have to train our brain, yeah? We have to train, you know, that, you know, that moves not only the body, but we have also to train the brain into thinking, yeah? Into thinking, into writing, you know, that is also a mechanical skill, but it is also a mental skill, yeah? Into reading, into learning how to form ideas, you know, and so on, yeah? And it takes us 18 years or 16 years, you know, whatever, yeah? Until we are fully grown up, yeah? Normally, you know, in most of our Western countries, with 18, you're fully responsible for your life. Whatever you do, you know, I mean, it will be judged, you know, as a fully responsible person. So for 18 years, we train this body, yeah? We have some time to play, you know, but we train this body, you know, to become an adult. And then, what are we going to do? For the first 18 years, our parents looked after our body, you know, and provided us with everything that we needed. And from the age of 18, I mean, we have to look after this body. So we have to provide everything that the body needs for, yeah, through our work, through our manual labor, or through our mental labor, whatever, yeah, whatever profession we choose. And this we have to do for the next 40 years, yeah, until we get retired. Yeah. And then when we get retired, we don't have any more strength. Yeah, we have very little strength. Yeah, and then we just wait until, you know, our death comes. You know, and yeah, I mean, kill our time, you know, with this and with that. You know, going here, going there, talking about this, talking about that, watching movies or going on holiday or going to this city or that state or this country, yeah, until we die. So we wait for death, yeah, to come. And that is in a nutshell the human life, yeah. Working, you know, I mean, training this body for 16 or 18 years, yeah, then having full strength for 30 years, and then it starts to decay. Slowly, you know, the energy of the body gets less and less and less, yeah? And the body, you know, just crumbles just like an old car, you know? And the older the car, the less, you know, the less powerful it is and the more failures it has, huh? And the more we have to put it to the repair shop. And that is just the same thing with our body. Huh? The longer we live, the more often we have to go to the doctor, you know, and just like the repair shop of the body, yeah? You can call the hospital the repair shop of the body, yeah? Because then, you know, they fix this or fix that, you know, if you have a broken leg, you know, they put it back together, huh? Just like, you know, in a car we have a broken axle, you know, we go to the repair shop and, you know, get it fixed, yeah? Well, it's a difference, yeah? The body is nothing else, you know, than a very, very sophisticated robot, yeah, biological robot that we, you know, in the beginning we, who are not the body, yeah, train. Because the body cannot train itself. Or do you think, you know, the body trains itself? No, there must be somebody who trains the body. Huh? And it's just like somebody who drives the car, or who first learns how to drive a car, yeah? And that is one important insight that we need, yeah? That we are not the body. Yeah? So when we get samadhi, when we have sansati, you know, when our heart is quiet, then we start to investigate this body and see it is not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, and it doesn't belong to me. Yeah? And that we work so hard for this body, and most of the people forget, you know, I mean, that there is something else in this life, yeah? Not just, you know, bringing up or training this body, you know, then using this body, yeah, and then waiting for death, yeah? That there is something more important in this life, yeah? To train the citta, who is responsible for all the movements of the body, yeah? Who is responsible, what is put into the brain, yeah? The citta, you know, that knows, you know, I mean, millions, billions or trillions of lives, yeah? I mean, put some of the memories, you know, it has, you know, put it into the brain, yeah? And put the functionality, you know, and all the other things, you know, into this body, yeah? And then we can use this, with this kind of functionality until we die, yeah? And then the next life, you know, we start again from the beginning. Huh? And then the important question you should ask yourself, is that what I want? Yeah, I mean, if I come back as a human being, and that is already difficult to come back as a human being, according to the Lord Buddha. Yeah? When I come back as a human being, now, I mean, all of you have trained the body already, you know, I mean, you still have full strength, you know, you can do, you know, a lot of work, yeah, of samadhi and wisdom, developing wisdom, yeah. But in next life, you have to start again from scratch. Huh? From scratch. You're lying there, you know, when you're thrown out of the womb, you're lying there like a meat package, you know, who I start to train this body. Yeah? And in the first 5 years, you know, reflect a little bit, you know, go back into your memories about the first 5 years. Was it so much fun? Yeah? This is mostly physical training, yeah? To the coordination of all the muscles, you know, and all the, you know, the nerves and everything, yeah? And then it is mental training, yeah? And speaking, yeah? And learning to think, yeah? And then the same thing will happen, yeah? I mean, we have strength, you know, for 30 years, yeah? But most of the time we have to look after this body. So, I mean, we need to go and work for this body, yeah? The first 18 years our parents take care of it, and then we have to work for 40 years for keeping this body alive, yeah? And then we are tired after 40 years. We don't want to do anything, yeah? We just want to lie and, yeah? Lie around, you know, I mean, watch telly and whatever, yeah? Or eat this, you know, go out, you know, maybe, yeah? But we can't do great things anymore. Because the body slowly decays. And how often, how many lives have you had? Yeah? And then, you know, reflect about, you know, if your human life is so much fun. Huh? I mean, you wouldn't be here if you think it is so much fun. Yeah? That is for one point clear. Yeah? If you think that this life, you know, as a human being is so much fun, you wouldn't be here and trying to find a way out. But we have to find the way out, you know, according to the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth is to see dukkha, yeah? To see the dukkha of the body, to see the dukkha of the heart. Yeah? And where the second noble truth, where does the dukkha come from? It comes from tanha, from our desires. Wanting something, wanting this, or not wanting something. And the third noble truth is there is an end to dukkha, and the fourth noble truth is that what we hopefully are determined to walk, yeah, is the path, you know, that leads to the end of dukkha. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Yeah? Sila, we have our as monks we have our 227 rules, yeah, so we keep them, you know, we don't go against them, and that's it, yeah. And that's one of the fetters, yeah? The other fetter is, yeah, believing in karma, believing in heaven and hell, in beings in heaven and hell, and believing in karma that there are good deeds, you know, lead to good results, and bad deeds lead to bad results. And the third one is the attachment to the body, yeah? Understanding, yeah? Learning to understand that we are not the body. And this is, you know, by putting the body, the parts of the body in front of us, yeah, until the understanding, you know, comes back home into the heart, yeah? Until, you know, there's a blip and suddenly the heart understands, you know, I'm not the body. So you put the body parts in front of you, yeah? And see, you know, all the body parts, you know, I mean, from the toes, you know, to the head, yeah? You can do it very detailed or very coarse, you know. You can cut your hand, you know, and then put it there, and then the right hand and put it there, and then the arm, and then the legs, and so on, and so on. And then all the inside, you know, the liver, the heart, you know, and the intestine, the small intestines, you know, you can put it out in length and look, you know. Or you can just throw it on a heap, you know, and look at this body part, yeah? And what sits there and sees the body parts? Yeah? That is the citta. Yeah? When we look, you know, when we look at the definition of the five khandhas, you know, the five groups, you know, that we feel attached to, or that we feel it is me and mine and, yeah? And myself, you know, then there's these five groups, you know, it's a body, it's a feeling, it's memory and association, it's thoughts and consciousness, yeah? But there's no citta in these five groups, yeah? So, the citta observes, you know, the body parts out there, yeah? In the moment, yeah? And if you do it correctly, you know, there will be, at one moment, you know, there will be a cut, you know, where you suddenly see, you know, you are not the body. But this cut, you know, it might take, you know, it might take 100, you know, exercises, it might take 1,000 exercises, it might even take, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 or 1,000,000 exercises. And that only depends on our sati while we are doing this exercise. If our sati is there 100%, we might only need to do this exercise 1, 2 or 3 times. And then the heart understands, yes, I'm not the body. And only in these cutting these three fetters, you know, is the way out. Yeah, it is the way we open the door to the hamster wheel and can get out. Yeah, and we are not anymore. Yeah, I mean, we are at most, you know, when we enter the stream, we are at most are falling back seven more lifetimes until we reach Nibbana. But there is no way back, so we open the door, and this door will always be open. Yeah. And all what we need to do then in the next seven lifetimes, if you don't finish in this lifetime, you know, I mean, it's progressing on the path, yeah. Okay, that's enough for today, huh?
And you do the sati, and like it gets a bit more calming and say, when the Buddha.
Yeah.
And then we stay with the Buddha?
Of course, always.
We be with it, but then if I try to know how now it's then.
I mean, the knowing is not in form of thoughts then.
Yeah, it's just...
It should... The knowing is in the beginning, is in form of thoughts, you know, just to train the sati. But later on, you know, it becomes just knowing. And that knowing doesn't disturb.
There's no space for thinking.
Huh?
And if I'm there, I can think.
If you are there with the Buddha, then you know if it is the beginning, you know. Yeah? And this knowing is not disturbing. Yeah, if you try to think, yeah, that is disturbing, yeah. So you only do it in the beginning, you know, to get the ball rolling, yeah? Yeah. And once it just stays there and it knows, you know, how the Buddha is. I mean, how can you not know, yeah? Yeah. I mean, but if you don't train it, you will not know, you know, you just repeat it mentally, you know, and you really, yeah, I mean, you're gone off, you know, the background thinking takes over. I mean, of course it is not peaceful. Huh? I mean, it's only peaceful when the background thinking stops. Yeah? So in the beginning, you know, I mean, you have to force yourself, and that is not easy. Yeah? Because we like to stay with the feeling of peacefulness. Yeah? You know, and then, you know, I'm in the feeling, you know, and then we get tired, you know, because the mind is quiet, then we become tired and we fall asleep, yeah? But that is not the practice, yeah? The practice is to wake up, yeah? And if you ever experience it, yeah? It is like, you know, I mean, like, you know, like a, like a wave, you know, goes through your body, the body sits completely erect, you know, and you're completely awake, yeah? So in that moment, you see, everything that goes on in the heart, yeah. And that, for that, we have to train the sati, yeah. And you will see, you know. I mean, if you're with the Buddha, you know, and are you really with the Buddha, or are you more latching on to the feeling, yeah? Huh? That means you get more and more sleepy, you know. Huh? It's getting quieter, and we become more sleepy. Yeah? So that's why we really have to know at every moment, you know, how is the Buddha or how is the breath. Yeah? And for that we have to train a long time, yeah. And this disturbing is, sometimes the disturbing comes from the kleshas because they don't like it. Huh? They don't like, oh, I don't want to know, I just want to stay with the Buddha. Yeah? Huh? The kleshas are still there unless we enter really samadhi, upachara samadhi, then the kleshas are still there. When we are in upachara samadhi, I mean, then we have much more power, you know, to develop this knowing faculty. Okay. Mamikamta, no questions? Let's finish.